Well, it's Halloween, which means I still have some candy to buy to give out. But also, we've been hearing a lot of scary music, maybe a lone piano playing dissonant notes in the distance or an off-kilter lullaby playing on a music box. Those are sound cues that let you know something terrible is about to happen. But why do they scare us so much? Here's Max Green of WBEZ in Chicago.
It's a dark and stormy night. You're home alone, ready to watch a scary movie, so you turn off the lights and settle in with a bowl of popcorn. The opening credits flash on the screen. After a few minutes, you're engrossed, but suddenly thinking, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. You're looking over your shoulder every few moments, and you're hyper-aware of the sounds around you. A tree branch tapping softly at the window, a creaking floorboard, a metal gate swinging back and forth outside. You're on edge. But nothing scary has actually happened yet on screen, so why is the hair on your neck standing up? It may be all the cues your ears are picking up on that your eyes haven't, sound cues that tell you tension is rising and something is probably going to happen soon.
The ear in general has a far more direct line to your emotional response.
That's Kubilai Uner. He teaches music composition for the screen at Columbia College Chicago. He says in scary movies, the ear plays a big role in creating fear.
I think it has to do with the fact that it's always on. You can't close your ears. And it's the only thing that can look behind you.
Uner says composers can use sound design and music to make the viewer feel unsettled.
Basically, what you're trying to do is somehow take away the sense of safety and control from the audience.
But when it comes to music, context is key. Notes and combinations of notes aren't objectively creepy sounding. Rather, horror movies have given us a kind of language that's taught us to fear certain tones. Uner uses a piano in his classroom to explain.
Complicated intervals can sound what we commonly call dissonant, and they can be employed to be scary. So you have something like this. And out of context, that sounds a little scarier than...
But take that same dissonant chord and add a few notes in the middle.
I can make it kind of pretty and more like a question mark.
Music composers have lots of strategies at their disposal to facilitate different kinds of scares. Take Alfred Hitchcock's classic Psycho, for example.
Where it's just horrific, employing almost a physical gesture, those screechy violins that keep coming, wee, 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 wee. It's really just painting the movement of somebody with a knife stabbing, and you have that high sound which suggests metal.
And then there are brooding low tones, what you might expect to hear looking down a dark hallway or across open water, like the incessant rumble in Jaws.
You have these many primal ways of scaring people acoustically, and I think it has to do with the function that we're used to using our ears as alarm mechanisms.
Science tells us Uner's theory isn't that far off from the truth. All of those elements he mentioned scare us for a reason. It's why we use words like primal or visceral to describe fear. Scary sounds act as a stimulus and evoke a biological response from our bodies. Daniel Blumstein studies evolution and biology at the University of California in Los Angeles, and he's curious about why certain sounds evoke this fear response in people. But he's not a fan of horror movies. What got him thinking about this was actually much... cuter.
Marmots.
Marmots are kind of like big squirrels.
And through a serendipitous experience I had, I was holding a baby marmot and suddenly it screamed and I had this emotional response. And I wondered why I'm having emotional response to a rodent, you know, screaming.
And just for reference, this is what a screaming baby marmot sounds like. Blumstein says when he heard that, his body reacted, his heart skipped a beat, and he started thinking,
maybe there's a general principle at play that can help us understand why we respond certain ways to certain types of music and certain types of soundtracks.
And when Blumstein examined those screams, he found sonic elements in them that actually correspond with some of the same sound ingredients that make up jarring, noisy tones or dissonant music.
Raspy, staticky. Some of these may be rapid frequency upshifts and rapid frequency downshifts, which might come across as warbles.
He found that noisy sorts of sounds naturally produced by vocal cords in alarming circumstances make us feel afraid.
I think the people that have been making films and music have implicitly known this, But what our work has shown is sort of the reason why. And this hypothesis links us to our ancestors, not just our human ancestors, but our non-human ancestors.
So rest assured, film composers and scorers are well aware of the timeless tools they have at their disposal to keep you on the edge of your seat. For Here and Now, I'm Max Green in Chicago.
Scared yet? That story comes to us from WHYY's The Pulse. You're listening to Here and Now.